to the Fanatic Post Game Show. Presented by PropSwap. America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back into the Fanatic Post Game Show. Jamie Lynch, I'm in with Andrew Salchunas as always. And man, we were just watching Nelson Agholor during the break there at the locker. And, you know, good on him for always being there to answer the questions. There's a lot of guys that will duck and hide and hang out in the training room and avoid these types of things.
Well, he should be in the training room. He grabbed his knee like it was a serious knee injury after he dropped the pass.
Yeah.
We all caught that, right? Like, I don't want to cast anything out there.
No, he knew.
We've all done it. My hand hurts. That's why I didn't make that play.
My hamstring seized up there. That's why I didn't make it.
Dude, don't go right for your... Like, at first I was like, oh, man. And then I was like, wait, dude, really? Because he got up.
Yeah, he got up fun.
He popped up.
So he's at his locker after the game. And, you know, of course, the media scrum surrounds him. And it sure sounded like, to me and you, this sound is courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia. They cut away right at the end. But it sure sounded to me like a guy that was about to break down and start crying again. I fear we're back to 2016 Nelson when he had to get benched because he wasn't dealing with his lack of success well. I feel like that's what's back to it. Part of me feels bad for the guy, but part of me thinks he's a crook for taking $9.5 million.
Yes.
So it's like conflicting emotions. I'm like, well, you should have never gotten paid that in the first place. I do feel horrible that you're going through this stretch where you can't even catch what you're supposed to catch. But here's Nelson Agholor at his locker after the game. His voice starts to shake there at the end. Here he is.
Watch the tape. Yes. Try to get to the second window. You know, that's what it was. Defense made a good play.
Seemed a little banged up on the end here.
Yeah, I'm trying to just play through whatever, man. You know, do whatever I need to do.
How frustrating is this considering you guys had him right where you wanted him? I mean, you still had a chance pretty much in the second half.
It's very frustrating. You know, we know they're a good team. At the end of the day, to prove that we're that type of team, we need to win those games.
Is this one of those that you feel like the defense gave you what you needed to do?
The defense played amazing. I thought they played very well. You know, they put pressure on the quarterback, and, you know, they covered really well. Secondary did a really good job.
So do you guys take this, the offense?
I mean, you always got to own it to a man. If you're talking to me right now, shoot, I take responsibility.
Sorry. On that last play, do you feel like you tracked it well?
Yeah, I did. In fact, if anything, I kind of hit the ground, and that's when I kind of lost it.
Sorry if this was already asked. On that play, we were watching on television. Was there anything with the wind changing?
The ball did travel weird, but at the end of the day, it's the NFL. You got to find a way to track it down. And I thought I followed it on the way down. I kind of hit the ground pretty hard and moved it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he was about to break down.
Oh, boy.
And that was probably somebody was, I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm sure there's probably like an Eagles PR person that was like, all right, we're done.
Yeah, I mean, they cut out from the feed right away, but you could hear it in his voice there. He's probably not in a great place right now.
No? I mean, it's happened way too many times this year. The Atlanta game, two drop passes. One, he got hit by the safety, all right. But the second one, down the sideline, would have won them the game. He had drops against the Lions. He gave up on a ball against the Vikings. Gave up on the ball against the Cowboys, the one that we were all talking about, even though they were out of it at that point. Like, they weren't going to win that game. Completely gave up on a ball against the Cowboys. And hasn't done anything since then, even in the two wins, and then tonight. That would have tied the game.
Yeah.
Would have tied the game.
And look, it does not excuse Carson Wentz on the three plays game. Before that. We're not saying that. But man, does he need help. Because, you know, he was bad for those three plays before, but then he put one up there that he just needed somebody to make a play on, and it couldn't get done again. Unfortunately for Nelson Agholor and his family, it was Nelson Agholor again on the wrong end of the play, and, oh, man, he's not in a good place. Let's talk to Chris in Allentown. What's up, Chris?
Yo, gentlemen. I feel kind of bad for him a little bit, but nah, not at all.
Just yeah, not really. You're getting paid $9.5 million. But yeah. On the human level, I think we can all empathize with him where it's like he's lost the skill that He's done. I mean, he's done as pretty much as a player. He's toast.
Yeah, he's not playing. He's not playing in NFL next year. I almost guarantee that.
He might get a veteran minimum. He probably will, just because of the speed and somebody. Watch, with our luck, he'll go up to New England and become an All-Pro receiver.
Nah, that's not going to happen. But now I want to say, like, you know, listen, I agree with you guys a little bit. I'm going to put a little on Carson Wentz, but I want to just reiterate one fact to the entire fan base. And everybody who jumps on Carson Wentz's back right away, do we realize that we just got done playing the number one defense in the league and actually scored a touchdown against them and didn't look too bad operating until we lost Lane Johnson? And I do blame a little bit of this win, too, with our coaching staff. When you know, here we go again, mixing our offensive linemen around. Why don't you just leave Diller in there? Diller plays bad, then you let Jason Peters come back in and play. And even Vitae, I was like, dude, we should have Diller in there. The rash of injuries we had this season, I can understand this. You know, we have Jordan Howard in this game. We have Alshon, who hasn't really played that well. But I think Jordan Howard is the key factor of this team right now, winning football games.
So cruel not to have him today, because I thought that was such a winnable game. It proved to be a winnable game. And I really do think if you have Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders all game, I think you have a much better chance of walking away victorious today.
You know, and one more thing. I know you guys I only have so much time, because I can sit here on the phone with you guys all night. I usually wake up Monday morning to call you guys. but, you know, I just need to get off my chest, because I'm listening to the station about Carson Wentz. It's like, look at these wide receivers, guys. Like, I mean, Zach Ertz was your number one. 6 for 75. That's a second wide receiver stat. Why is Zach Ertz constantly our number one receiver? Like, I just don't.
Because all the other options suck. And Wentz knows it. That's the sad thing is, right? Like Carson Wentz knows it. He got ripped last year for always looking down Zach Ertz, right?
Yeah. And Chris, thanks for the call.
He knows that everyone else sucks.
He knows.
So he goes, okay, my first read on pretty much every single play is going to be Zach Ertz.
Yes, and Bill Belichick, unfortunately, also knows that.
Yep, and that's why they found ways to double him up. That's why they found ways to keep him from getting to the first down yard marker. We saw it over and over again, especially in the second half.
I really thought that would have been a game for Dallas Goedert to step up and have a bigger game. And look,
bad drop today.
Yeah. I said it earlier this week. I said, you know, and I hate myself for even saying this on these airwaves. I thought Nelson Agholor was going to make a big play today, because they do that zero coverage, blitz defense where they leave the back end of the field exposed. And if you have somebody that can beat one of their pretty talented defensive backs, you can beat this team. And I really thought Agholor was going to do it. And in the worst case nightmare for him, he drops another one in the end zone that, frankly, I mean, you'd have to say 85-90% of the receivers in that league catch that ball.
I said 98.5% on Twitter.
I mean,
no, it was a bad throw. It's like, dude, come on, man. The dude's getting paid $9.5 million.
Yeah, and we'll have to talk to Tim McManus fairly shortly as well. One of the other storylines from the game, and I know Miles Sanders entered the medical tent at some point there in the third quarter. Boston Scott out-touched him like what had to be 25-3 in the second half.
Yeah, Miles Sanders had 4 touches in the second half. Like that, 4.
What happened?
I don't know.
If it's not injury related, I need an answer on that. Because the way Deuce Staley handles these running backs, I don't know if we'll get the real answer or not, but that's something that he needs some splaining to do. We'll talk to Mike in Phoenix. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Been better? Listen,
yeah, well, me too, man. I'll tell you what. I live in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm originally from South Jersey. There is absolutely nothing to get excited here about. Nothing. I love my Philadelphia teams. I get excited to watch the Eagles, and I get this on TV, man. It's awful.
That was a tough game to watch.
It is absolutely horrendous. And it's not only Carson Wentz, okay, because at times he looks good. Good players find a way to get by. Great players find a way to win. He's not a great player, man. He's not, in my opinion. I love my Eagles. I swear to God I do. The whole team right now is awful. They are awful. From the players, the receiving, everybody, including the coaching staff in the front office right now, man. Come on. I are the players that aren't coming back this year. Why didn't you pick anybody up?
Mike, you hit on it. Howie Roseman has to... He has to get an A++ this offseason because not only do they have lack of people in the pipeline to step into these spots, but they need to get younger, they need to get more athletic, and they need to get fast, and they need to
and
do it quick.
They got to have somebody to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Catch the ball. I get $9.5 million. You can't catch a ball, and then you're going to cry and feel sorry for yourself? Come on, bro. You got to go, man.
Yeah,
you
they
got to roll.
They
got to
get.
Go.
They got to get athletic, and they got to get fast, and they got to get young.
And to make matters worse, 90% of the people here in Arizona are Cowboys fans.
Ugh.
I got to go to work tomorrow and hear it.
That's all right. It's all going to come down to that game head to head. I think still.
Well, you know, that's wishful thinking on our part, man.
Yeah, it might be.
And I'm tired of feeling like, okay, maybe next week. Okay, maybe next week.
I hear you.
I love my Eagles. I do. And I love you guys. Like I said, I'm from South Jersey all my life.
Appreciate the call, Mike.
Love you guys.
Yeah, go Birds. I mean, that game sucked today. Like, it just wasn't a fun football game in any aspect.
No.
Even if I wasn't a New England or Philadelphia fan, that game just was ugly.
If we weren't doing post game, we'd be sitting back, having beers, watching the game. We wouldn't be enjoying it.
No, I
don't know if anybody at the stadium enjoyed it today.
No,
they did the shots where they would cut away to the fans, and all of them just sort of like looked like, all right, is something going to happen soon? Like, do something, please.
This somebody is boring. Try something. But I mean, I look at these games, and it's hard not to look directly at Howie Roseman when you have Jordan Matthews, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Mack Hollins, and Nelson Agholor as your wide receiving core. Look, Carson Wentz isn't going anywhere. Whether you're a Carson Wentz hater or a Carson Wentz defender,
right,
whether you're kind of like me where you think he has the potential to be great, but you have some doubt seeping in now for the first time ever.
He's here for the long haul.
Yeah, he's here. There's nothing we can do about that. Nick Foles isn't coming back. You're not drafting a quarterback. You're not signing a quarterback.
Josh McCown's not starting next
None
week.
None of that is a realistic option. He is your quarterback for the next, probably, unless he, you know, the wheels fell off completely, which I don't see happening, for your next 4 or 5 years. So the question then is he going to be good enough to lead this team to a Super Bowl with better help around him? And I don't have that answer. I believe in my gut. My gut says, yes, he can be.
Yep.
Right now, I don't feel great about saying that, but I truly believe he's still the guy that can lead this team to a Lombardi. But today is not a great day for us in that camp.
No, not a good day because he didn't play well.
And I really believe it can't be all him. He needs help. When he holds on to the ball too long. That's something that we can all admit to here. You know, like the Kelsey snap in the second quarter. He needs to learn to just throw that away
right. Instead
of taking you out of potentially a better Hail Mary or a long field goal situation. Those things he needs to improve on. He stepped into a sack in the second quarter where I was like, dude, did you not notice what was going on around you? His pocket awareness needs help. He holds on to the ball too long. I believe all of this is a result of, not all of it, because it's all correctable. A lot of it is a result of he doesn't trust anybody he's releasing a football to outside of maybe Zach Ertz.
Yeah, can you blame him?
No.
No, and that's the thing. That comes back to Howie Roseman. And it's not just the receivers. It's believing, okay, we'll get another year out of Jason Peters.
Oh, they're too sentimental. Howie Roseman has become too sentimental, and that's something, you know, when he got exiled by Chip, he said he examined and changed himself. That's something he needed to examine and correct. You know, I saw the report going around working on contract extensions with Malcolm Jenkins, Zach Ertz, and somebody else. And I'm going, Malcolm Jenkins? Really?
Yeah, Malcolm Jenkins, again, it wasn't as egregious as what we've seen in recent weeks. There was a play, there was a slant route, it was a 3rd and 10. It was early in the game. I was still at home watching. Early in the game, and Brady completed it. And it was a first down to the Harry guy, and Keel Harry or whatever his name is. First down, and Malcolm Jenkins looked like he didn't know what he was doing because he was in the middle of the field.
He's had a subpar year,
and he just sort of hesitated and froze.
Yeah.
And then the guy got a first down, and then what did he immediately do? He pointed at somebody, pointed at one of his teammates, and probably said, "Dude, you were supposed to be here or something." When I was like, "Dude, you were the closest defender on that play."
So I see a guy that's taking a step back this year, and then I see contract extension talks. And look, Malcolm's a leader of this team and he's great in the locker room. All that stuff is true. But, like, you're going to start talking about paying him real money when he's clearly on the downside of his career? You better have another replacement behind him, somebody that's talented and young and fast, because those sentimental extensions, they're starting to bite this team in the ass on a regular basis.
Nelson Agholor getting $9.5 million this year is criminal.
It's criminal. I can't believe Howie Roseman did that.
And what do we always laud Howie Roseman for? Like being a cap guy and all that stuff. And he thought that $9.5 million would be good for Nelson Agholor.
You could have gotten two veteran NFL receivers for that price. Yeah,
they could have done something for
that. Would have helped the wide receiver.
Those trade talks for Jadeveon Clowney and Jalen Ramsey. I don't know what the cap structure looks like, but if you had $9.5 million freed up, maybe you could do something.
Oh yeah,
maybe not to those guys because those guys are going to get paid.
Did you see Randall Cobb's touchdown today?
Yes, where he got clocked.
Yeah, and he made a tough catch and he fell into the end zone. Randall Cobb was a free agent that was out there for basically like $4 million. And I would take Randall Cobb at age 29, 7 days out of the week over Nelson Agholor, and he's literally half the price. So, like, these are the things that Howie Roseman, you need more Joe Banner in you, Howie, because you've become too sentimental, and it's costing this team. Let's go to Damon in Albany. What's up, Damon?
Hey, how you guys doing?
You know, we've been better.
Yeah, I'm doing horrible.
yeah, it's amazing how much we let the Eagles influence our happiness, isn't it?
You know, I was supposed to go out and everything, and I just decided to stay home. I'm not spending no money. But,
yeah, I've been there.
So I don't think people really understand like how important talent is for anybody, right? So you look at the game today. The Eagles are playing Tom Brady, who you can say is the best quarterback of all time, and you can see how much it hurts Tom Brady when he doesn't have pieces around him that can create separation or do special things.
Mm-hmm.
And Carson Wentz is nowhere close to Tom Brady yet.
No.
What do we really expect? Like, don't get me wrong, this is probably one of the worst games I've ever seen him do.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that good quarterbacks do is they always give you a shot at the end.
Yep.
And the players just got to make plays. Like what was that game last week when Russell Wilson had they were playing horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And he wound up, I guess it was San Fran, was it?
Yeah.
San Fran, Tampa Bay. He came back and won. They were down 21-7.
I look at teams like the Chiefs where it's like, besides Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce, and Sammy Watkins, who was barely healthy, I don't know none of these guys, even with Tyreek Hill out. And for some reason, they just ball.
They find guys like DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman, and the kid from Georgia. And you know what they are, Damon? They're fast and they're athletic.
They're fast. Last thing I want to say before you guys cut me, I think that's the approach that the Eagles should go into. I don't want to see nobody drafted unless they run a 4-3. I honestly hear you.
I'm with you.
I'm totally with you.
There's one player out there that I think I really do believe, because I love his game, and I think that he's the best young receiver that can be probably bribed away from his team right now. And I want to see what y'all think about it. It's Mike Evans.
Oh, I love Mike Evans.
Yeah, but you can't do it now.
Dame, thanks. That would have to be in the offseason. And I think that's what he was implying in the offseason. Look, I mean, with the way the contracts are right now, Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson are guaranteed to be here next year.
Yep.
Guaranteed. Yeah, they're not going anywhere because they're dead.
Alshon, doesn't he have a player option? It's basically like Jake Arrieta.
Oh, yeah, no, they're guaranteed. They're locked to be here.
Yeah, I had a terrible year, but I'm getting paid $20 million next year if I come back. I'm coming back.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside will be here. Those are the three that will be here. Outside of that, you better find some kids coming out of college that have 4.2 blazing speed and are incredible athletes. It seems to be working out for DK Metcalf. And Russell Wilson, they have no problem getting on the same page this year.
Nope.
You're going to need probably a signing. Like, you need a pipeline of wide receivers in here. You cannot have early era McNabb syndrome here, where you're throwing to Nay Browns and Todd Stinkstons and James Thrashes. We can't waste years of Carson Wentz. You know, was he good today? No, he wasn't. Does he need help? Yes, he absolutely does. And Jason Peters, he's really hurting this team. Andre Dillard should have been the starter for the remainder of the year. Any incontinuity with that offensive line always goes back to Jason Peters. It's just killing them. Defense did a great job today. Eagles could not pull it out versus the New England Patriots. Joe, Mike, D'Antone, Mike, we'll get you guys coming up next. The Eagles go down to the New England Patriots today. The Dallas Cowboys, unfortunately, beat the Detroit Lions. So you're now one game back. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Tim McManus to get the injury report down there, see what actually happened to Miles Sanders, maybe with Lane Johnson, all that stuff. Coming up next, you're listening to the Fanatic Post Game Show. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 9:23. Here's a reminder when placing your futures bets. Always make your bets with PropSwap in mind. We call it the go for two. Make your regular bet and then make a duplicate second smaller bet to sell on PropSwap. It's an insurance side bet. Often selling this second bet returns back some of the cost of the original wager you're keeping. And small bettors can always sell their futures bets when they improve and make an average profit of 5 times their original bet. Go to PropSwap.com and see what real sports bettors can do now. For instance, last season, a seller listed a Patrick Mahomes MVP ticket at 75-1 odds, and a PropSwap buyer scooped it up and cashed in for over $100,000. Also, last season, a prop swapper sold a New Orleans ticket for $57,000. The buyer got great odds, and the seller made the right decision as New Orleans ultimately lost in the playoffs. PropSwap is America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets for every sport. Go to PropSwap.com today.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic. Now back to the Fanatic Postgame Show. Presented by PropSwap. America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back in, Fanatic Postgame Show. I'm Jamie Lynch in with Andrew Salchunas. The Eagles drop a very winnable game today versus New England and the Evil Empire. Tom Brady looked more than human today, did he not?
Yeah, he did, but you also got to credit the Eagles' pass rush. It was great today.
Yeah.
Especially early in the game. They got to him early. He looked rattled.
He was doing the intentional pass, the intentional grounding, but I'll throw it close enough to somebody's feet. He did that a couple times, and I was like, oh, he's rattled. And it ultimately led to nothing.
The Eagles' defense played so well today, especially because of the amount of screens that they try to run, but they were all like clever design screens. There's a lot of play action screens that they're running, and the Eagles defense didn't fall for anything.
No, they were good today. They were really good. They put you in a situation to win a game, and they held, you know, the defending champs, the greatest coach and quarterback in NFL history, to 17 points. That should be good enough 7 days a week to get you that win. And it wasn't, because this offense is a problem. This offense stinks. And we'll talk to Tone in Plymouth Meeting next before Tim McManus joins us. What's up, Tone?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
enjoying a football team with a miserable offense.
Yeah, well, I got 2 points and I have a half rhetorical question. So the 2 points are, I blame this loss on somebody that's totally out of the box. I blame it on Andy Reid and Don McNabb. For years, they had incompetent wide receivers like these, and they still got it done. So what we're used to as fans here is we're used to the Eagles having no receivers and relying on the running backs and the tight end to get it done. The difference is the game has changed. So,
yeah,
you know, you have to push the agenda. You need yourself a superstar wide receiver, because even with those same receivers, you add T.O., those guys even played better. So that's my first point. My second point is, Jordan Howard is that much more important. He's a North-South bash him up in between the tackles, in between the hashes runner, and you really need him to open up for Miles Sanders because Miles Sanders is the lightning, so he gets all the outside stuff. And my half a total question is, what happened to the development of Mac Hollins?
That's a great question.
Coming out of college, we thought that this guy was, I think he's from North Carolina.
Yeah, UNC, cool. Yep.
Yeah, great burner, great size. He has good hands. He's raw, but if you develop him, it's in 3 seasons. Now we're talking about getting rid of this guy because he obviously is not an NFL player.
I mean, it's fair to ask about all the development of guys at the wide receiver position. You know, the best wide receiver they just re-signed in Jordan Matthews.
Right.
They haven't really developed anybody since Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, and you can't develop Ortega Whiteside because he can't get on the field. They don't put him on the field, so how can you develop someone who doesn't play?
The way they develop their wide receivers is a great question, and I don't have an answer for you, Tone.
And who's the wide receivers coach anyway?
Carson Walsh. Carson Walsh.
He said that Matt Collins grades well.
And does he have as much power as Deuce Staley has over the running backs? Because it seems like we always go to that and we say, well, Deuce Staley does this with the running backs, but we never blame the wide receiver coach.
Well, the wide receiver coach, I don't know. They don't do rotations.
And thanks for the wide receiver coach
doesn't do rotations.
That's based on the formations, and the formations are dictated by Doug, or the sets, I should say.
And I'm sorry, Carson Walsh can't, like, rip off somebody's hands and then put on bionic hands, which can they catch the ball. This thing goes back to Howie Roseman and the Eagles scouting department thinking that certain guys can play in the NFL.
Yeah, it's bad. This offense is bad. And Jordan Howard, I want him back personally. I want him and Miles Sanders as the running back rotation for the next 3 or 4 years. I think he's shown you enough where Tone's right. Like, that is a good thunder and lightning. And Miles Sanders sucks. We'll talk to Tim and find out what happened. But apparently it might have been a head injury that took him out in the second half. But he only got 4 touches in the second half. Lane Johnson as well got what I assume is a concussion in today's game. Jason Peters went out because that's what Jason Peters does every single game. He leaves the game at some point. So we'll get all that from our friend. He covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. He joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline from down at Lincoln Financial Field. He is Tim McManus. What's going on, Tim?
What's going on, boys? How are you tonight?
I'd much prefer to be talking about a win.
Sucks, Tim.
Tim, when you hold Bill Belichick and Tom Brady on your home field to 17 points, you're supposed to win that game. What was that offense today?
It was one that was stuck in the mud, especially when Lane Johnson went out of the game.
I mean, that's really when it felt like the wheels fell off, Tim. I'm not crazy.
There was this clear shift. I mean, they had jumped out to that 10-0 start, and you didn't expect it to necessarily stay at that level. But you could just tell that they were just unable to kind of get off of the mat when Johnson went out. It kind of highlights, and we've seen this before, like when he had the 10-game suspension.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell that there's a difference in what that offense looks like. And, the drives after that, 7 punts, lost fumble, turnover on downs. It's an offense that lost its deep threat after week 1 in DeSean Jackson. That has been struggling to replace that, that has been really struggling to find explosive plays. Everything is kind of a struggle. It's all kind of plotting, with the exception of kind of the pass interference on that first drive. Like, you just don't see that many chunk plays, that really happen downfield for this offense. And then you have receivers who have just kind of underperformed, I think, really across the board. And you put all that together against one of the best defenses in football, and you get the result you had today.
Real quick, the injury updates. You know, we were told Lane Johnson left the game with a head injury. I assume that's maybe a concussion. Can you update us there? And can you update us on Miles Sanders? I think he only got 4 touches in the second half. Apparently made a trip into the medical tent himself. How did they come out of this on the injury report, do you think?
Yeah, so as far as I know, it's a head injury for Lane Johnson. So I'm with you. I believe that would signal concussion. And those are very difficult to project, and so I'm not going to.
Yeah, I hear you there. But nothing else came out about that.
Right, and then and then Miles Sanders, I asked him actually in the locker room what was up with him, and he said that he got hit in the head and he got evaluated as well for a concussion, but he was fine. So it doesn't appear there's anything that's going to hamper Miles at least moving forward.
Fine to go back in the game or fine going forward, do you think he implied?
Going forward, and ended up going back in the game after he got checked out. Yeah, okay. So I think he's fine.
All right, so Tim, you were in the locker room after the game. Obviously, there were scrums around all different kinds of players. One of them was Nelson Aguilar. Were you with Nelson Aguilar when he was speaking to the media?
I was for part of it, yep.
Okay, so we were watching the NBC Sports feed here at the studio, and it seemed like they cut out at one point because it seemed like he started getting pretty emotional. Did Nelson Aguilar end up breaking down or anything like that? Like, a lot of people are curious because, once again, game on the line, he came up small.
No, I didn't notice a breakdown. I mean, maybe there was some emotion in his voice, and I feel like, it's been multiple weeks this season where he's at his locker stall following a loss, getting asked about a particular play that didn't go the right way, you know, whether it was a drops against Atlanta or Detroit. There's just been a number of times where, the one where he didn't put up his hands. I mean, it's been an unfortunate season, I think, for Aguilar. And then there's the play, of course, late in that game where, could he have contorted his body in a different way? It wasn't an easy play, but, these guys are, and he in particular is paid $9+ million, to make special plays. And they have just come up short in that respect. I mean, I feel like wide receiver, period, has been an issue. What is fundamentally wrong with this group when you have every single individual underperforming? I think that's a question that they're going to have to deeply inspect once they get to the end of the season.
Tim, what do you think? The reaction to Carson Wentz is somewhat fascinating to me. There doesn't seem to be a middle ground with him for whatever reason, probably because of what Nick Foles was able to do with this team is a big portion for that. Obviously, it wasn't a great game from Carson today. Kind of, what did you see from him today? And do you personally believe there's something to be concerned with there?
Long term, I'm still not concerned about Wentz, but I think that he needs to be playing better in this moment for this team to have success. I mean, it was an uphill fight in the fact that he didn't have DeSean Jackson, he didn't have Alshon Jeffery, he didn't have Jordan Howard, he lost Lane Johnson. He's going up against the number one defense in football. All of these things are legitimate things that he was fighting against. But that being said, I feel like as a franchise quarterback, you have these moments, you have these games, you have these sets of adversity that you just have to find a way to push your team through. That was my immediate reaction to this game. I thought that Wentz held onto the ball too long at different points in the game. I thought that the offense was kind of clunky as a result of that. I saw some misfires out of him. And then, of course, we also see some special moments where his arm talent comes through, where his ability kind of shines. Some of those passes between him and Zach Ertz were dynamite. But there just wasn't enough consistency, and he wasn't able to push this team over the hump. And I feel like, the rest of the season, in large way, is about Carson Wentz. Because while it's not always going to be this dire, some of these guys will come back from injury, it's pretty clear that this offense that people envisioned at the beginning of the year is never going to materialize, and that this kind of veteran-laden roster is going to be dealing with injuries to varying extents for the rest of the season. So it's not going to be pretty the rest of the way. The offense isn't going to be as explosive as they thought. But what they do have is who they believe is a franchise QB with a good offensive line, And a couple of decent playmakers still at his disposal. And I think that it falls on his shoulder to kind of wipe away the doubters, to make this a statement close to the season, that he is the real deal and that he can rise above. And so I don't think he did it well enough tonight. And I think it's something that he's going to have to do the rest of the way to kind of prove himself.
All right, last one from me, Tim. You just brought up the offensive line. I want to revisit November 4th, which is the last time I saw this comment, which was Doug Peterson mentioning that it would be Jason Peters' position once he's ready to come back. And today was obviously the return of Jason Peters. Did you agree with Doug Peterson a few weeks ago saying that Jason Peters deserved to have his job back? Because Jamie and I both were saying Andre Dillard played well enough to keep the job the rest of the season. What were your thoughts on that, and how do you think he did today, obviously leaving the game?
You know, I did agree with Doug Peterson's decision, and it was also partly Jeff Statlin's decision to have him back in there. If you look at it, I thought that Dillard played pretty well, but I also feel like his play over that stretch was maybe a little overblown. Like he acquitted himself well, but if you stack him next to Jason Peters, both from experience and just you know, dollar for dollar production, I feel like that Peters is the better choice. There, you do start getting into the conversation of, yeah, but he's getting hurt all the time and he's in and out of the lineup. And is the consistency, or lack thereof, you know, ultimately hurting this roster? And I think that's a conversation maybe, moving forward. But I think that, it's not just about Peters earning it because of what he's done over his career, but I legitimately feel like he's still a productive player, with the exception of a couple of mistakes tonight. So, I understand the argument on the other side. I'm more on the pro Peters camp.
Well, Tim, we got the, you know, good thing for the Eagles. They got a cupcake in the Seattle Seahawks coming into town next week. That should be an easy one.
Yeah, just roll their helmets out there. They should be able to handle that.
Yeah, that was my sarcastic voice. Tim, you did a great job. Yeah. Keep it up. Thanks for hopping on with us, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, boys. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
All right. See you, Tim. That's Tim McManus from ESPN.com and our own 97.5 The Fanatic. A lot to get into. We'll get into it with you guys coming up next. Good news is Miles Sanders, Lane Johnson, hopefully nothing serious there. Hopefully in and out of concussion protocol, we'll see. We don't know for sure, but it certainly seems like that may have been. Well, not with Miles Sanders, but Lane per se. Coming up next, we'll get into this game with all you guys next. Time at the Fanatic is 9:43.
All right, I know we're all miserable, but it is still the most exciting time of the year at Borgata Sports, New Jersey's favorite sports betting app. And here's a special offer for new customers on tomorrow night's matchup between Kansas City and Los Angeles. Place a $1 pregame moneyline bet on Kansas City and win $100 if Patrick Mahomes throws a touchdown. That's it. They don't have to win. He's just got to throw a touchdown. Just use bonus code Andrew100. First time Borgata Sports bettors get paid 100-1 odds if Mahomes throws a touchdown when you use bonus code Andrew100. So I know we're all depressed, but money always makes us feel a little bit better. So that's a good way to win them. Place your first bet at Borgata Sports and check out the lines on football, pro and college basketball, hockey, and much more. Download the Borgata Sports app or visit BorgataSports.com today and get 100-1 odds on Mahomes throwing a touchdown with bonus code Andrew100 tomorrow night. Must be 21 or older. Must be in the state of New Jersey. Restrictions apply. Visit BorgataSports.com for a full list of terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. Now back to the Fanatic postgame show. Presented by PropSwap. America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back in, Fanatic postgame show. He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Andrew, I predict a long week of Carson Wentz talk. And I predict me wanting to jump out the window by about 8:30 tomorrow morning. Because I come on live at 5.
Before that, because you're on at 5. It's before.
How is that possible when I admit he didn't play well and I'm still going to want to jump out the window?
It's going to be bad. But at least Nick Foles lost today and didn't play all that well.
Sadly, that is a help.
If he played well today and Carson played the way he did.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. It'd be such a...
The bigger issue is correcting the talent on this roster. Bottom line, offensively, You look like you have a backfield. You look like you have a tight end set. You look like you have most of a line. What you're missing is the groups that play on the outside of the field. They're called wide receivers. Carson Wentz isn't going anywhere. So you have to get his talent around him better. It's the only way. You need speed.
I just love how there are people that hate Carson Wentz so much that they are really defending Nelson Agholor. Again.
Yeah.
They defended him against the Cowboys game where he literally, six different coaching angle tapes, all 22 film,
yeah,
showed how he pulled up.
I don't even want to think about Nelson Agholor ever again.
And now, like, I saw a video earlier in the show of, like, the side view, like the pylon cam, and it's like, dude.
Yeah, it's bad.
It just hit you in the hands.
You gotta come up with it.
Again.
Yeah. Mike in Florida joins the show. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Jamie, how's it going? Listen, I understand that we don't have the personnel to run anywhere close to the full route tree. Like, literally, the whole healthy receiving core combined,
mm-hmm,
like, cannot run the whole route tree.
Yeah.
But have you ever realized, and today was actually a bad example because the Eagles played great defensively, but have you ever realized how wide receivers are so open on the Patriots versus how contested the Eagles receivers are?
I think part of that is the way the teams play the Eagles. But what's your bigger point with that?
I think it comes back to three things. We never go into the no huddle and try to get them out of position.
Fair point.
Two, we clearly have the least sophisticated audible system there is. I mean, Wentz was like doing it in the beginning of the game, and then it seems like he just goes away from.
Yeah, I did notice that. On that, yeah, that 8-minute and 40-second drive, he seemed to audible out clearly of two or three pretty big, uh-huh, plays there, and then it disappeared. Yeah, you're right. And what was your third?
I mean, listen, he has a long release. Like, his physical release is a little bit of a longer release. So we need to run an offense that is conducive to his skill set.
Yeah, I think you need to roll him out of the pocket more.
Well, he needs to roll out of the pocket.
Yeah,
more.
Fair.
Today he was terrible. He looked stiff in the pocket.
Fair, but at the same time, I think you can also design some plays that get him moving. I think he's one of the better passers outside of the pocket in the league, and I think you need to play to that sometimes.
I mean, there was one play where he had both of his wide receivers were on the right side of the field, and he had like a little lane to roll right, and he went and he rolled left. I've never seen him so. Just so not on top of it today. And another thing is, those RPOs are discombobulated, dude. I mean, there's people just running around in the middle,
yeah,
of the field. It looks terrible.
It does seem like they still continue to run Nick Foles' playbook for Carson Wentz, doesn't it?
Yeah, I gotta say. Hey, by the way, I'm Tony Giuliano's brother. I don't
Oh, nice.
I don't know you guys know each other.
Yeah, that's small world. Mike, thanks for the call, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right, see you, man. Yeah,
hey, hey, Mike, nice talking to you.
That, I mean, all of his points are valid. Like, I, yeah, do think they're, you need to, and it's part on Doug, part on Carson. He's good at getting outside of the pocket. And occasionally when you know, the one thing the Patriots are very well known for is double A-gap blitz. They'll send two guys right up the middle. And you saw Miles Sanders, it bit him once.
Up.
He got blown up today on that play.
And that's when he missed Jordan Howard.
Yeah, but like, if that's what they're big on, you know,
design rollouts.
Yeah, like that's where a design rollout can put Carson Wentz in a better throwing lane, you know, for one of these inept wide receivers.
Yeah, especially when your inept wide receivers can't get open,
yeah,
on their own.
Yeah, like I do think there's something to that. I think that, you know, these RPO plays were mainly put in place for Nick Foles. And I feel like they think they had success with it, so they're still continuing to run that same offense. This offense just stinks. Like, I don't
it
know.
Does.
I don't know what. I don't even, like, I don't know where to begin.
They did it. They did it again today. Something that I love. It's one of my favorite plays. And they did it in the touchdown drive early in the game. It was a 22-yard play action tight end screen where they fake running one way, and then Dallas Goedert slips out, and they run a screen for him. I remember Jason Kelce made a nice block downfield. Lane Johnson made a nice block downfield. And that drive, they had a couple of well-designed plays. And then after that, it was boring. It was stale. It was not creative. And you're going, okay, is Doug trying to dumb it down for his inept wide receivers? if anything, you should try to make it a little more creative because you need to find ways to get these guys open.
You need, I mean, like, where's an illegal but legal pick play to free a guy? Where is the creativity? I don't know.
If Matt Collins grades out well in practice, that means he should be good at making the pick.
Yeah, I can't believe Matt Collins actually got open today and Carson Wentz had a bad pass. Yeah. I was like, dude, what? No. Not the one he got open on.
That was his time to shine, Matt Collins. But it really is amazing. And this, the other thing is you had 2 weeks to prepare for this game.
I know.
And I think they knew that Alshon wasn't going to play this week, like, a long time ago.
They knew.
Like, they knew a week and a half ago, okay, Alshon Jeffrey's probably not going to play. Jordan Howard not playing was probably a bit of a surprise because
that
was just
sucked.
A stinger. And I think that was a bit of a shock for them. But they knew that Alshon Jeffrey would not have played. Obviously, they know DeSean Jackson would not have played. So Doug Peterson knew that Nelson Agholor would be your number one wide receiver, and you would have to design for Matt Collins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He knew that, and he did nothing to do. Not that you can get much out of him, but he's doing anything to get anything out of him.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, like, dude, you've had opportunities now for weeks, man. You can't find anything out there. It's so frustrating.
Second round pick.
This offense is just like getting kicked in the junk on repeat. That's what I feel like. And guess what? Seattle's coming to town next week. Yippee! Got another big fat segment. Brian, Kevin, Mike, Dan, Eric, Chris. We'll get all you guys up. We'll vent and bitch together. You're listening to the Fanatic Post Game Show presented by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports wagers. I'd like to sell everything Eagles related. We'll get into it next. Time is the Fanatic 956.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.